Hi, everyone. I could comment on the comic background of everything that's been going on, but I think we have more important things to talk about today. It is so wonderful to be with you every Sunday. I look forward to this, and it's the highlight of my week, just being with you and being with the one who comes to nurture you and rejoice with you and heal you and lift you up. Of course, that is our beloved Yeshua. And we welcome his presence, for we know that he is here with us all and among us all and joining us. And as he said long ago, whenever two or more are joined in my name, I am there. So I would love to hear from anyone who wants to make a contribution or a comment today. We love to give a little time to our community because it makes it real to everyone that real people are here benefiting by what is being offered. And I see Gina's on the phone. Hi, Gina.
Oh, hi, Glenda. How are you?
Doing great.
I just wanted to say I loved your message last week, and the more that you've talked about it, the more that I'm beginning to understand it, of Yeshua saying to be of the world but not in the world. My question is, how do you actually do that? For example, you know, you get up in the morning, you know, you said rise above it. So you get up in the morning, you have your cup of coffee, and all of a sudden you think, oh, I got to pay this bill, I got to do this, I got to do that. I guess with all of, you know, our previous beliefs or our held emotions from our past or whatever it may be, how do we rise above to solve the issues that we're having?
Well, you know, that's a great question, Gina, and I think it's an everybody question. So when people ask things like that, I'm really, really happy to bring it into the format of the class. Well, the fact is, we all have to deal with these little issues of life that we call cause and effect. The grass is dying outside, we better go water it or we won't have a lawn left. You know, that sort of thing. If we don't pay the bills, they'll cut off the electricity and so forth and so forth. Yeah, so, you know, we're all there. We all have those issues. That's not unique to you or me or any one person. So the first thing is we stop taking it personally. We realize that's just part of the dynamics of the world, and we happen to step into it at the place where we did. Remember how as kids we would do jump rope, and there would be two kids holding the ends of the jump rope. We'd be the one looking for how we're going to step into it. Did you ever do that, Gina?
Yes.
Yeah, and you try to get the right rhythm, you
mm-hmm.
know. You step into it, and you don't trip on the rope. And if you trip on the rope, then you feel really embarrassed, and you may have a skinned knee. So we're always a little cautious. That was my reason about saying that. We're always a little cautious about things that have to do with the world. We go to pay the bills we have, and we have enough money to pay those bills, but then we get cautious because we think, oh, but what if an emergency came up? What would I do then? Oh, well, what if I went out and my car, the tires on my car were flat? You know, that's when we get sucked into the world. Okay?
Okay.
We let the cause and effect factors of life become then a greater cause over us. As long as the cause and effect factors are out there, just being the fact that, yes, the grass needs watering, we can plan for those things. That is, if we're a responsible person, and I think that it's always good to be a responsible, caring person who takes at least reasonable measures to be in control of your life. Sometimes we do lose control because we might have an unexpected situation in life that throws us out of control. But we work on getting back, and we keep those necessary obligations kind of Well, at arm's length, where we can look at the rhythm of the rope swinging. We know how to step into it. We know how to step out of it. And part of that, part of the secret, is to have another dimension of your life, which is not all about those cause and effect problems. In other words, don't pray because you've got a problem and you need a solution. Because when you do that, guess what? Your problem has become the cause for your prayer. Have a protocol for prayer or meditation or rejoicing with music or whatever you do for rejoicing. Playing with your kids, your grandkids, taking a walk, walking the dog, eating the birds, whatever you do for rejoicing. Do it every day because it's there for rejoicing. In other words, the cause of it is outside this world. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes, that's very helpful. Thank you.
Okay, have some special things you do for which the cause is not of this world. And that could be anything from prayer to feeding the birds. Make sure that you have plenty of things to do every day that the cause is not of this world. Don't just wait till your friend is sick and you're calling your friend because, oh my gosh, I'm worried about my friend. Call your friend because you love your friend. You see the difference?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
And I have something I've told people about many times. I have a prayer journal. And I journal my prayers for several reasons. One is because I like to have a record of them. It allows me to celebrate and realize the percentage of prayers that are that have been completely answered, and then I can even put stars beside it, like gold stars, a row of gold stars, a row of red stars, a row of blue stars, and a row of green stars. And I rate, it allows me to see the green stars are like, as I do my job, God does his job. The blue stars are like other people are really helping this come true, and so is God. And then I get up here to the gold stars. Those are parts of the prayer that are being answered bit by bit. Isn't that an amazing thing?
Yeah.
And when I see that, it helps me to look at my prayers as being originated from within my heart. Not caused by a need out in the world. You see, what Yeshua did, he came here from a place of perfection. He came here from our Father's mansion. He came here without a care in the world except for his compassion for humanity. He didn't have to come. He didn't come to be with us. Because if he didn't, he'd be in trouble. He came here purely out of the compassion and goodness of his heart. So the cause, you have to look at where cause starts. See, there's always cause and effect. You have to look at where cause starts from. His cause started from heaven. Now, the effects that he addressed and healed and dealt with and worked through and even surrendered to were of this world. But the cause wasn't. And so what he did was so much of a pure heart that even though he went through every day sadness being with people and ultimate torture, it didn't touch him as a soul because it didn't start from in the midst of torturous events. And that's a huge factor to think about.
How would that be for us then?
Well, okay. Give me an example in your life that you don't mind sharing publicly.
Oh, okay. Well, like what I was saying about, say, paying the bills, the cause of, say, financial stress and worry.
Okay. Well, let's say the cause could be that at some point some emergencies came up and you overspent your budget. Would that be a fair estimate?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That happens to everybody. Now, what I want you to think about is your larger resources that have absolutely nothing to do with what's in the bank. I want you to meditate and pray about the abundance in your life, the abundance God has to offer, the abundance that you could receive as an inspiration about how to be financially larger than any obligations you have in the world. That's what I want you to do next week. And while you're doing that, I do not want you to think, to spend one moment thinking about limitations you have in the world. Because if you do that, then your limitations are the cause of your worry.
Yes.
Do you see that?
Mm, yes, I do.
And
you've said that before, too.
I've been there. I've done that, sweetie. I can tell you every step of the way of what that feels like. We all do. We look at what we don't have in the bank account, and then we look at what we've got to pay out of it. And the whole cause and effect is right here on this earth, feet in the mud. And we just really, really don't know how we're going to walk forward, how we're going to make it happen. Okay, here's what you do. Take your feet out of the mud, wash them off, clean them with a towel, lay back and think about all the abundance you have ever had in your life. Think about all the abundance you could possibly create. Think about all the abundance that you can create in the future. And then think about how small those debts really are. And it's okay to say, I don't have the answer right now, but God does. I don't have the answer right now, but in my higher self, I do. I don't know yet how the universe will move things around to get this done for me, but it will. And honey, it works.
Yes, I think you suggested this before, and I've done it, but I need to do it more consistently. So thank you.
You need to do it all the time because, see, this is just one illustration, one little point of example of how to be in the world and not of the world. Okay, of, the word of means from. It's almost synonymous with from. In other words, you're not from the world. So your answers don't come from the world. Your solutions don't come from the world. What we all face inside the world is the law of cause and effect and the law of conservation that says for every penny spent, there's got to be another penny to fill the gap, that sort of thing. For every bit of energy I spend, I've got to spend a certain amount of rest and food to make up for that. That's the law of the world, but that's not the law of existence. Okay? And yeah. You need to know, this was beautifully illustrated the night before Jesus' arrest. I've said this so many times, but it'll make a poignant example now, having said this to Eugenia. Of course, everybody was worried about him. They knew that critical mass was about to happen. Of course, the apostles were hoping still there was a way around it. And even Jesus prayed. He prayed till his sweat was blood. He didn't want to go through with the arrest and the torture and the crucifixion. He was afraid. And one of the reasons is because the whole event was actually pushing him deeply, deeply into the world. You know, when something like this is about to bear down on you, How could you not feel like you're in the world and it's about to bite your head off? You know, let's face it, the human side of him was feeling that pressure. Well, this beautiful person that we believe, it's not for sure, not confirmed, but suggested, could have been Mary Magdalene. It definitely was a woman that was close to him, who was there with the apostles that night before the arrest. And she took a whole jar of spikenard. And let me tell you, friends, the value of that jar. It was so expensive, it would be equal to the entire year's wages of a working man. That's how valuable it was. She took that jar of spikenard. Now, spikenard, I'll tell you, as an aromatherapist, it's not a very pretty oil today. It used to be in those days because they only harvested the flowers and they soaked the flowers in olive oil. And, they used it, for, anointing the dead, but also for, anointing a bride. And it was a lovely, lovely fragrance. Today, it's distilled from the roots and stems, and it's really pungent. It's something hard to take unless it's blended with other things, which I do. I blend it with roses, and the roses take care of that. But the value of that spikenard for him is it's an analgesic, and it deadens the sense of pain physically. She was doing that knowing that whatever was going to happen, it probably would involve a lot of physical pain. And so she was bathing his feet with it and probably anointing all the exposed parts of his body. And Judas stood up and he declared a very violent protest. And he chastised her for doing what she was doing, saying, the money that was worth could have been given to the poor. Why are you doing that? Well, Jesus stopped him. He rebuked him, and he said, do not interfere with her. She's doing what she's supposed to be doing. The poor will always be with you. You will not have me much longer. Now, was he being insensitive to the poor? No, of course not. We know better. We know that's not what he meant. But this was a parable about the very thing I'm talking about. In other words, the affairs of the world and those who are stuck living in the world and letting the world be the cause of their misery will continue being there for a very, very, very long time. Until heaven comes to this earth, in fact, it will be there. But what will make the difference is the fact that heaven will come to earth and transform it all. And that's what this lovely angel of blessing was doing for him. He was anointing the Spirit of Love, Son of God, the grace of life to bring to earth the answer that would transform everything eventually. And so this is why we need to realize that sometimes we just can't invest everything we've got in trying to fix the problems of our life from the perspective of the problem. We have to look at giving support, nourishment, faith, adoration and healing to the transcendent part of our life that has the ability to bring heaven to earth and provides answers and solutions we may never have even dreamed about. So, Gina, did that help?
Yes, thank you. It helped me realize how to get to the solution instead of the constant repetitive pattern of worrying.
Yeah. And that will, like Jesus said, the poor will always be there. And let's hope that, literally speaking, there will come a day when the actual poor will no longer be there. I pray for that. But as an allegory of the world, yes, he was referring to something that we should not keep our attention on. We need to put our attention on that which has the ability to transform the world.
And to lift us up, right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, and that was a very good question, as you can see. We were able to make the most of that one, and I'm just going to see if anybody else came on with another question. Yes, we do have one from a wireless caller, area code 701. Hi.
Hi, Glenda. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Oh, good. This is Candace Boyer, and I'm a new blessing giver, Maura Jones. I was her student. And
congratulations, Candace. I'm so glad to meet you.
I just wanted to say I'm so proud and, very humbled to be part of the blessing team. And I had a question for you, too. I won't go into a long detail, but I've had some chronic pain issues for about 3 years, and I just wondered, Glenda, if you could kind of give me an example of how to rise above that. I mean, I think I do a pretty good job most days, and then sometimes it gets the better of me, and I just wondered how, if you had some help for that.
Well, what I do is I do my best to love it. Now, when I say love it, I'm not talking about liking it.
Okay.
I'm not talking about saying, oh, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. I'm talking about the energy of love that surrounds it, because everything that happens to us comes for a reason that we need to accept and embrace and understand. As a matter of fact, we would not be having the blessings today were it not for a long-term chronic pain problem I had. I had injured my left hip in a gymnasium accident in 2001. And that had become increasingly painful to the point that it was an inevitability that I would need a hip replacement. I was in such pain that Yeshua would come to me in the mornings, and he would touch my foot and relieve the pain and ask me if I would like to join him in relieving the pain. And I said yes. With that, I learned how to do that. And from that became all the learning that became the blessings we have today. And in learning how to do that, I learned how to stop my resistance of it. You see, most of the pain we have is because our body has a built-in defense mechanism that causes us to resist that could harm us. Anything that could harm us, we resist. And it's actually the resistance that causes the pain. If we didn't resist it, it would actually just pass through us. My husband demonstrated this many times with his, in years past. I don't think he's done it once since we've been together, so I've never had the pleasure of experiencing that. But he used to do firewalks, and the coals were very, very, very hot. And he would prepare people consciously for how we actually create our reality. And our reality is created out of many things, among them the things we want, and then also the things we are afraid of and the things we resist. and he would get them into a state of mind where they had absolutely no resistance to the heat. And they would walk across these hot coals that could easily cause third-degree burns. And it was rare that anybody would ever even get a first-degree burn or a sizzle. So it's just amazing what can be done. And this Candace, is not just mind manipulation. Some people think it's a sort of like a self-hypnosis where you hypnotize yourself to just not see or believe in something. That's not what it is. It really isn't. It's something so much bigger than that. It's like some of the great karate masters can just with one hand, with the gentlest blow, they can go through a 2x4. And it's not because they use force, because force wouldn't have worked. A sledgehammer wouldn't have broken that 2x4. What they learn to do is relieve their resistance to the board. You see, everything, let me just give you a little quick science lesson here, and then we're going to close and go into our blessing. But we're all made out of the same thing. Everything. The same adamantine particles make up you and the floor and the walls and the ceiling and the trees and the chair you're sitting on. It's just they got put together into a different atomic order, and then that atomic element was put into a different molecular organization, and then into a different kind of configuration and condensation, so that the substances have different energetic frequencies. And these energetic frequencies form a kind of energetic matrix around everything. And the energetic matrix, well, they're kind of like boundaries around countries that, you know, if you try to cross over into from France into Germany, you're going to have to show your passport. If you're going to try to blend oil and water, you're going to have a very good emulsion technique, because on their own, oil and water just don't mix. Well, it's the same thing with everything. Around the borders of everything, there's resistance. And whenever we experience pain, our body is resisting something that it believes will harm it. Learning how to tolerate and relieve that resistance is a very high form of love. It's not the same thing as liking. It's a different kind of love that comes under, well, I might say the heading of just faith, dropping your resistance. I think that's one of the things Yeshua was talking about when he would say to everyone he healed that by your faith you were made whole. In other words, they dropped their resistance. We all have a lot of resistance about a lot of things. And almost every time we find that our physical ailments were not just physical. They were tied into something that we don't like, or something that happened to us, or something that developed into our life that we really, really didn't like even a whole lot more than the ailment. And so it created a larger pattern of resistance. Does that make sense, Candace?
Yes, it does, and thank you so much. That really does help. Thank you, Glenda.
Okay, now to carry this over into our blessing, because it's time to start.
Okay.
Everyone to be seated, except for our blessing givers, of course. And I want you just to let your attention fall into your heart and just be there in your heart, my dearest, dearest loved one, to be there with Jesus. To be there and receive the Holy Spirit. Whatever you've been resisting in life, just let it be safe for the moment to let down your resistance and to let life come in, to let the grace of God come in, to let the love of Christ come in. Just be there in this safe space and let your defenses down. Let it all come in. We're going to flow a great pattern of energy into you, and that great flow of energy will go to places maybe you haven't seen or felt in a long time, and touch and heal and open up those places. Now, so that you don't build back your defenses or your resistance too fast, what I want you to do when we're finished is I want you to go and lie down and rest for at least 7 minutes. And during this time, don't think. Don't think at all. And don't even pray. Now, there's a reason for that, a good reason, because that could bring back your defenses. It could bring back to mind the things you're worried about. Just be there, defenseless and open and vulnerable as a baby. And let the grace of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the love of Christ just be in you. So let us begin. Shoes and socks off, if possible, feet on the ground, head uncovered, if possible, or if covered, at least by a natural piece of cloth. No synthetics, please. Dear Jesus, Yeshua, Son of God, Lord of life, Brother of man, we ask for your love now and always. Please be with us and all that we love, our loved ones here, close to us or far away, in all they do, in all their endeavors, for whatever all their challenges are. And help us to realize in this moment that we are no more than 6 points away from touching everyone on this earth. We ask that you let us touch whomever we can through those 6 points that everyone on this earth, young and old, rich, poor, sick and well, may receive your holy, amazing, and magnificent blessing. We pray that the desires of our heart be met and that all the defenses of our life be dropped, at least for a moment, so that we may receive your healing grace, your love, your charity, your benevolence, and all the wondrous gifts of God. Amen. Let us begin, and you begin your prayer. Amen. Your blessing offering is complete. Now go and rest. Assimilate, receive, and enjoy the love of God that you've been so richly given. I love you too, and I look forward to being with you again next week. Bye-bye for now.